Welcome to this podcast from the Medical Journal of Australia. My name is Sam Hunt, the MJA's news and online editor. Today we are discussing the new Australian Cancer Plan, which has recently been released by Cancer Australia, Australia's national cancer agency. The plan aims to improve cancer outcomes for all Australians, and particularly for people who have the poorest health outcomes. My special guest is the CEO of Cancer Australia, Professor Dorothy Keefe. Professor Keefe has led Cancer Australia since 2019, and prior to this she had a long career as a medical oncologist at the Royal Adelaide Hospital and as Professor of Cancer Medicine at the University of Adelaide. Professor Keefe and her team developed the plan, and she is with me now. Professor Keefe, thank you so much for your time today.
It's an absolute pleasure. Lovely to be here.
Professor Keefe, before we talk about the Australian Cancer Plan, can you please tell our audience a little bit about your background as an oncologist and as a senior academic?
Yes, Sam, thank you. So I moved to Australia 35 years ago as a junior doctor and did my physician training and specialist medical oncology training in Adelaide, where I then went on to work as a medical oncologist for 20 plus years, with a research interest in supportive care in cancer, but particularly in gut toxicity of cancer treatment. And that really was a very illuminating experience, because when I started in that field, you know, 30 years ago, it was thought that toxicity management was a bit peripheral to cancer. But as we've actually got better at curing cancer and there are more survivors from cancer, it's more and more clear that supportive care for cancer is really important. And so my research went from the periphery to the centre, as it were. And that put me in a very good position to transition into the role at Cancer Australia, where it is, after all, about looking after all Australians with all cancers. Not just looking after the cancer, but looking after the person and their surrounds as well.
And you began leading Cancer Australia in 2019, and the former Minister for Health, Greg Hunt, commissioned the development of a cancer plan in November 2020. Why does Australia need a cancer plan?
Well, it's been shown that countries that have a national cancer control plan have a better ability not just to have better cancer outcomes, but also to know they've got better cancer outcomes. Australia, as it turns out, has among the best cancer outcomes in the world, but we can't tell you very much more detail than that. And while we've had state and territory plans for cancer, they can't address the issues that actually happen nationally. And because our health system is funded by both Commonwealth and states and territories, there's a need for an overarching view. This isn't a plan to replace the state and territory plans. This is a plan to embrace them all so that we can actually do the things together that are better done together and enable the jurisdictions to continue doing the great work that they do.
And I understand one of the key focuses of you and your team has been equity, particularly targeting people who may be priority population groups and improving outcomes for people with low survival tumours.
Yes, that's right. So this plan is focused on the person with the cancer and their support group. So either their partner or their family or their community, depending on who they are and where they're from, because everyone has a different need. We already know that we have some of the best outcomes in the world for certain tumours, but it's true that the further away from the city you live, the less good your cancer outcomes are. And belonging to particular population groups makes a difference to your outcomes for cancer. And I think there's been a lot of news recently about the gap in cancer outcomes widening between Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and non-Indigenous people. And that is partly because the outcomes are getting better for non-Indigenous people, but it's also because the incidence is increasing in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and the survival is actually not increasing. It's potentially getting a bit worse. So we need to focus on improving outcomes for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. As you may know, NACHO, had a cancer plan launched for the community controlled sector, the Aboriginal community controlled sector. And that's really important because it looks at prevention and screening and support. But there's a lot of things that go on in the main, so-called mainstream health system where we need to improve things. We need to reduce gaps between appointments. We need to enable people to be engaged in the system. We need to provide better communication and treatment for the particular cancers that are an issue. So yes, we focus particularly unashamedly on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health outcomes, but also on other priority populations such as disability, mental health, LGBTIQ. We need to make sure that everyone is enabled to have those wonderful outcomes that the most advantaged have.
Professor Keefe, the plan sets out a national reform agenda and will need joint efforts from stakeholders right across the cancer sector, as well as from state and territory jurisdictions. What will rolling out the plan involve from your perspective?
One of the beauties of this plan is that we involved everybody in developing it. And if you involve everyone in developing something and they all agree with what it should look like, it's much easier then to make it happen. So we asked the cancer sector, the cancer consumers, everybody in Australia, basically, what do you want from a national cancer plan? And what we heard, what we were told, was we want cancer to be prevented or found as early as possible. We want cancer to have the best treatment in the world underpinned by best research and data, and we want to be cared for. So that's what we're trying to do with these 10-year ambition statements for each of our six strategic objectives. And we have 46 actions to get us there. And what we're doing with the implementation is we're issuing an invitation to the sector. And the invitation says, here is what we need to do in the next 10 years as a cancer sector to deliver the best outcomes for everybody. And how would you like to partner with us? Is there something you would like to lead? Is there something you would like to work in partnership with us? Or is there something that you would like us to do because you really feel that particular thing needs to be done? So we already have a couple of fabulous partnerships lined up. The Movember Group, who are celebrating their 20th anniversary this year and are a fabulous charity, they've come to us and said, we do expert work in patient-reported outcome measures and patient-reported experience measures. This is a really important part of the plan because we want to hear what people are experiencing and how they're travelling through the system. So Movember has provided $17.5 million and its expertise in this area to partner with us on rolling out PROMs and PREMs across the country for people with cancer. Now, that's a fabulous partnership that would never have come to fruition if we hadn't had a plan that said, this is where we need to go. Who would like to join us? Likewise, Cancer Council Australia has done some wonderful work in thinking about the data that we need to underpin the cancer plan. And a cancer data framework is one of our early priorities. So we have partnered with Cancer Council Australia and the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare to finalise a cancer data framework for Australia. Because if you don't measure it and analyse what you're measuring, you just can't tell what you're doing. So this data framework will actually save lives and improve cancer outcomes in Australia. So it's really an invitation. Come and join us.
And some of those gaps in the system really need to be fixed at a health service level or at a local health district level. For example, being able to access secondary care and tertiary care.
So another one of the foundation pieces of work is to set up what's called the Australian Comprehensive Cancer Network. The Commonwealth has invested funds in comprehensive cancer centres in major cities. So what we've said to those centres and to the jurisdictions that have them is we will set up a network for you to share between yourselves, but you need to share with all the people in your area of influence as well. We want to be able to see that any patient, wherever they live in Australia, you know, say they live in far northwestern Western Australia, has a way to link into the world's best treatment for their condition. So the principle is that you have your cancer treatment as close to home as is safely possible. Sometimes you do have to go to a centre, but there are lots of roadblocks between you and the centre. There's the distance, there's the finance, there's the getting the appointment, you know, there's the where you stay when you're in town, there's whether you have to wait longer than the person who lives in the city. All of those things we need to help with so that the person who lives in far northwest Western Australia has just the same outcome as the person who lives in the city. So it will all be linked up and networked. And that way, we then say to the states and territories, yes, we want your plans and our plan to link together so that everyone is getting the best possible treatment.
And let's talk about someone's journey through cancer. How will a plan help improve the care of people, giving them greater reassurance about access to services and not just access to oncologists, but to specialist cancer nurses as well?
So there are two aspects to that. One of them is the optimal care pathways. So there are about, I think it's 26, maybe nearly 30, different tumour pathways that have been developed by the Australian sector over the last few years. And they give guidance on what you should expect, you know, so how the tumour is diagnosed, what tests would need to be done, what the referral pathways should be to the specialist and the timeframes and all of those sorts of things, what the treatment options are, the supportive care. And those, when implemented across this whole Australian Comprehensive Cancer Network, will really enable us to hold ourselves to account, because everyone will be able to see whether a person's journey fitted with that optimal care pathway. The other thing you talked about sort of touched on navigation, and patient navigation through the cancer system is another really important part of the plan. And what we have conceived and wish to put into practice is what we're calling a multimodality, multidisciplinary navigation model, where it's, again, it's all about the patient and what the patient needs, tailored to their circumstances. So if it were me having a malignancy, I would be perfectly happy to look things up on the web, use an app on my phone, and manage most of it that way. But not everybody can do that all the time. And there may be times when I would need a phone call to a helpline to give me some guidance about how to access services. And there may be a time where even that wasn't enough and I needed to speak to a nurse who understood cancer and could help me with my multitude of issues around cancer. And then there might be a time where I really needed a nurse who understood my particular cancer as opposed to cancer in general. And then I would escalate up to that. So you'd have a sort of escalating, de-escalating, patient-driven, patient-centered navigation model where the input was provided where it was needed, making optimal use of the technology that we now have available. It's a big ambition, but we might as well aim where we need to be.
And how do you make sure this plan links in with existing plans that state and territories may have, or that local health districts may have in terms of cancer and oncology care?
So that's another really good question. So another one of the foundation pieces of work is to set up what's called the Australian Comprehensive Cancer Network. The Commonwealth has invested funds in comprehensive cancer centres in major cities. We need to link everyone into those. So what we've said to those centres and to the jurisdictions that have them is we will set up a network for you to share between yourselves, but you need to share with all the people in your area of influence as well. We want to be able to see that any patient, wherever they live in Australia, you know, say they live in far northwestern Western Australia, has a way to link into the world's best treatment for their condition. So the principle is that you have your cancer treatment as close to home as is safely possible. Sometimes you do have to go to a centre, but there are lots of roadblocks between you and the centre. There's the distance, there's the finance, there's the getting the appointment, you know, there's the where you stay when you're in town, there's whether you have to wait longer than the person who lives in the city. All of those things we need to help with so that the person who lives in far northwest Western Australia has just the same outcome as the person who lives in the city. So it will all be linked up and networked across. And that way, we then say to the states and territories, yes, we want your plans and our plan to link together so that everyone is getting the best possible treatment.
Professor Keefe, let me take you back to when you were starting out as an oncologist and you were training in Adelaide. What would the younger Professor Keefe, as a junior oncologist, have said about this kind of vision and where cancer treatment will end up?
That's a really interesting question, and I'll be slightly more honest and open than I was sort of expecting to be. When I was a young oncologist, both of my parents died of cancer. And it was really interesting because the system just wasn't joined up, and there were gaps, or I would almost call them chasms, in care, where, you know, you'd be going along very nicely and then suddenly something would go wrong and there was no way to really fix that. And so I learned, not just from my patients but also from my parents, that there were problems that we, you know, we could fix if we all worked together and supports were available in the right sort of way. And so, but back then also, the system wasn't as complicated. So we didn't have as many cancer patients, we didn't have as many cancer survivors, and we didn't have as many treatments available for those patients. So there were some cancers that you just didn't treat because nothing worked that you now can treat. So things have moved an enormous amount. In my career, we've gone from a 5-year survival for cancer of 50% to a 5-year survival for cancer of 70%. But the numbers of new cancers are also going up. You know, we really do have an enormous number of survivors. I have always thought through my career that changes happen very slowly. On a daily basis, you don't notice anything. When you look back over a 30-year career, you can see an enormous change. So as I mentioned earlier, the change in supportive care, we are so much better at supportive care than we were when I was a hematology oncology resident. Nausea and vomiting, not completely fixed, but oh my word, fixed sufficiently, patients are no longer treated as an inpatient. You know, chemotherapy is largely, vastly an outpatient therapy. The introduction of targeted therapies, the introduction of immunotherapy, we're about to get proton therapy in Australia. Things have really moved. But that makes it even more imperative that it's all joined up and that people can navigate through this much more complicated system. I'm thrilled that we've come this far. We've got a long way to go in this next 10 years. It's a 10-year strategy. But if we can work together to actually bring all this to life, it will be a much better experience for the patients going through cancer treatment in the next decade.
And finally, for the medical professionals listening, for the oncologists and the other specialists who are listening to this podcast, how can having a national plan and a national framework really help over time to guide and direct things on the ground?
That's absolutely right. And we've been quite careful, in fact, in the plan that the actions for the plan only go out to 5 years because things do change quickly. We've got the 10-year ambition, but the steps that we'll need between 5 and 10 years, we haven't defined yet. Because as we introduce the changes in the first 5 years, the goalposts will alter and the route to get there will alter. I think if we're all in it together and we're all asking for the same thing and striving for the same thing, it does make it much more likely that we will achieve this.
Professor Dorothy Keefe, thank you so much for joining me today.
My absolute pleasure.
My special guest has been Professor Dorothy Keefe, the CEO of Cancer Australia, Australia's national cancer agency. Professor Keefe has led Cancer Australia since 2019. Prior to this, she had a long distinguished career as a medical oncologist at the Royal Adelaide Hospital and as Professor of Cancer Medicine at the University of Adelaide. You can read the plan by clicking the link in the podcast description, and you can find more podcasts from the Medical Journal of Australia on our website at mja.com.au or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening.